Now it's time to talk about where to set up. When I'm talking about where, I'm talking about where you're going to select your spot to set up in certain situations. Even though every situation involving elk is truly dynamic and ever-changing, we're going to categorize our setups according to how we start out. Your setup situations are going to be either dynamic, heat-of-the-moment decisions and an active closing to a response, or they're going to be static. A scenario situation where you, the hunter, is determining location and the scenario when using a call set or create action or pull in a bull. So we're going to talk about dynamic setup situations first. Let's say you're moving in on a response from a bull, cutting the distance, and you have either stopped to try to pinpoint with a call or the bull has sounded off on his own. Now, one of three situations can occur from here. He is either in the same location, but within calling range, 100 to 150 yards, or he's 150 to 100 yards out, but moving to you, or, and this is the one that really gets the blood pumping, he's right on top of you. If this happens, you're most likely in thick cover somewhere between 50 to 80 yards, and in this situation, you are most likely in what I call, oh crap mode. So what we're going to do is we're going to take those three situations and we're going to talk about each of them down below. And in any of these situations, what I'm going to do is cover how you would select where to set up. So let's take the first situation, the solo with a stationary bull. In other words, you are solo and you have that stationary bull sounding off 100 and 150 yards. What you want to do first is check the wind in relation to the direction of the bull. Start looking for a setup location that does the following. Sets the wind either in your face or with a crosswind that gives you a shooting lane before the bull can scent you. Also, that is a tight setup, as tight as possible, with thick cover or using terrain to force the bull to get close within your killing shot range in order to see you. So once you find that location, find a route that lets you move fairly quietly for about 40 yards in a line directly away from the bull. At the new location, make sure you also have a backdrop and shooting lanes just in case. Begin your calling sequence from there. That sequence or calls would depend on what calls engage the bull in the first place. If at any point the bull seems to be coming in, move quickly to your first setup and stay quiet. Always check for limbs, look around you, swing your arms, draw, and make sure and check for limbs that could mess with your draw and clear debris around your feet or knees if you're down kneeling. Once the bull is sighted, if he's coming in, just stay silent. If he needs to be turned or pulled, make sure your calls are aimed behind you to seem further back than you are. A flexible grunt tube allows you to be in shooting position looking forward and still throw calls in various directions behind you. If you want to see this in action, watch the video I have down below. Now, let's take that same situation, situation one, with partners in a stationary bull. So again, you're checking the wind always in relation to the direction of the bull. Have the shooter move up 40 to 50 yards from the caller. The caller needs to initially make sure the shooter is in sight. It's very important, guys, that you understand your roles here. The shooter does not call. That's the caller's job. Elk are incredible at pinpointing sounds, and you don't want to give away your advantage. So there are basically only three reasons that a shooter would need to call. To stop a bull for a shot. So it's great for him to have that diaphragm in his mouth. So if a bull is walking through a shooting lane, he can give that cow call and stop that bull. To follow a shot with bugles to confuse and slow down a hit bull. Or to tell the caller that they need to move forward. A good idea is to use three repetitive cow calls that is a good signal, as it'll let the bull know as well that there's a cow present, but the location pinpointed once that shooter moves up will now be further back. The signal will also tell the caller that the bull has moved away and the caller needs to move up as well. Okay? All right, the shooter is looking for a setup location that sets the wind either in his face or with a crosswind that gives, again, a shooting lane before the bull can send him. A setup that is tight as possible, just like we mentioned before, with thick cover or using terrain to force the bull to get within close range within their killing range in order to see where that cow or that elk that they're hearing is coming from, and that breaks up the silhouette. Always, again, check for limbs that can mess with your draw and clear debris around your feet or knees. Now, once the shooter is set, begin your calling sequence from your location behind them. The sequence or calls you will use will depend on what calls engage that bull in the first place. If at any point the bull seems to be coming in, but is still out of sight, but not so it seems like he's going to pass the shooter, it seems like he's circling and going one way or the other, you may have to move to one side or another to change his direction. When I have a bull rotating on my shooter, I generally rotate in the opposite direction, kind of like on a record, man, if a record was spinning around. As he turns one way, I'm going just the opposite direction to try to line him out by my shooter. Once the bull is sighted, though, if he is coming in, just stay silent. If he needs to be turned or pulled, make sure your calls are aimed behind you to seem further back than you are. Again, that flexible grunt tube is the cat's meow for doing this, man. You're going to throw it in the opposite direction to be able to turn that bull. So now let's talk about situation two. This is going to be solo with the bull coming in. There are two ways you know the bull is moving to you. The first will be if he's sounding off on his own and that faraway bugle is now just getting closer and closer. Or you have stopped because you've not heard the bull for a while, so you use a call that he responded to in the first place to try to give him up, to get him to give up his position. And his response is definitely moving in from his original position. If you determine the bull is moving to you, then here's what you want to do. First, like always, what are we doing? Checking the wind in relation to the direction of the bull. If the bull responded to a call you made, immediately move ahead about 40 yards where you see the best location for your setup. Don't worry about noise. But if the bull is sounding off on his own, in other words, you didn't make a noise to get him to respond, you don't need to move forward. He has not been able to pinpoint you since you haven't made a call. Now, I'm going to give you an important note here. If you find yourself on the edge of a large clearing or a park, as we call them, do not set up on the edge of a park. If you do, and what I mean is not on the edge where you have the opening between you and the bull. Because if you do, that bull is going to clear the trees on the other side, and he's going to expect you to show yourself. Good for a rifle hunter, not so good for a bow hunter. You will end up with a hung bull for sure. In this case, you need to back into the trees and call away from the bull in order to pull him across that clearing and get him into a tight setup where he has to search you out to see the elk that he is coming in to see. Okay, so let's talk about looking for a setup location with that bull coming in. Again, you want to look for a setup location that sets the wind either in your face or again with a crosswind that gives you a shooting lane before he can set you. Okay, the setup has to again be as tight up as possible, using thick cover, using terrain, force the bull to get close within your shooting kill range, and a location that breaks up your silhouette. Always check for limbs, again, that can mess with your draw or that debris around your feet or knees. Once you find that location, if the bull is sighted, if he is coming in, what do you think? Absolutely right. Stay silent. Now, if he needs to be turned or pulled, make sure your call is aimed behind you again in a direction away from that bull to turn him and throw that call so that it seems like it's further back than what you are. Now, let's talk about turning a bull and pulling a bull. So in turning a bull, in this scenario, the bull is moving in but heading too much to the left to get into a shooting lane. So what I need to do is I need to steer him my way for the shot. Now, we're solo, so I'm talking about me. We're talking about you in position, so you have to steer him. With the flexible grunt tube under my arm, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stay right in shooting position and still call into my tube with it pointing behind me. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm throwing that call in a direction behind me. So in this case, if that bull was to my left and he's going to my left, I would turn my body slightly to throw my call back to the right. This is done when the bull is far enough out, not in tight now, to get him coming in the right line. Now, let's take that same situation with the bull coming in with partners. So, I believe that this scenario with a partner is one of the deadliest combinations there is. The bull has given up his position. You have a line on him, and you're able to have the shooter on that line, just to the downwind side a little bit, and pull that bull right by your shooter. Additionally, the bull's attention is on you as the caller, which is prime time. Now, if you throw a decoy into that mix, you can really get that bull's attention and have him so totally occupied. This is fun to watch, y'all. It is fun to do. Now, if you determine the bull is moving to you, then here's what you're going to do. You're going to check the wind in relation to the bull. Check, check. Well, that's what we always do. If the bull has responded to a call you made, have your shooter move ahead 30 to 40 yards and 15 to 20 yards to the downwind side, like an upside down L. We call it L route, all right? That distance will be controlled by where they see the best location for their setup. It's not always a perfect scenario, okay? Do not worry about noise. When your shooter's in position, have them clear the area of anything that could keep them from moving or drawing without debris or branches making noise. Again, they don't worry about making noise to do this. It's harder to pinpoint those types of noises, and they just add to the situation. So, just like in the solo scenario, if the bull is sounding off on his own, you don't need to move forward. Find the best setup for your shooter, and the caller will move back behind the shooter 40 yards or more. As the caller, if possible, I want to get back far enough where I can still see my shooter, but still somewhat have the ability to move if I need to. A change in terrain is perfect for this and allows me to move to steer a bull and pull him by my shooter. And what I mean by a change of terrain is, let's say that there's a little bit of a dip down and I can get behind that dip so that my head, I can actually still look over it into the area, but if I want to, I can duck down and move. That's what I mean by terrain. Now, if I'm not in a place conducive to being able to move, then I want to be able to see my shooter, and I'll just aim my calls either left or right to be able to steer the bull. So looking for a setup location, I want to make sure that we get a location that sets the wind, and this is for the shooter, that sets the wind in the face or a crosswind. We talk about that every time. Again, they want that tight setup if possible. It's not as critical for the shooter in a partner set. It is more critical for the caller to be where the bull has to come to move forward in order to see that bull. Make sure that you're someplace, though, you still have to break up your silhouette. And again, always check for limbs that can mess with your draw and clear that debris around your feet or knees. So the shooter, once the bull is sighted, if he is coming in, just stay silent. If he needs to be turned or pulled, that is the job of your caller, not your role. Often the caller will not be able to see the bull, but that caller is able to see you. The caller will be watching your body language in order to tell if you see a bull. It can help as well to have a subtle hand signal that will let the caller know that the bull is in sight and coming. If you just take your two fingers in the shape of a peace sign and put them up towards your eyes, turning towards him, let him know that you see him, and then a slight point in that direction. That's awesome right there. So let's talk about situation three. This is the oh crap situation, and we're going to start out as a solo shooter. And trust me, this scenario is going to happen way more times than you can even imagine, because when you least expect it, well, y'all, that's just daggum elk hunting. You'll be closing in on a bull, and something inside tells you to stop. I believe it's that sixth sense that we all have. You'll listen and listen and nothing. So then you let out a small cow call, hoping for a response, and all of a sudden the woods erupt with a bugle that sounds like he's just daggum on top of you. Now your brain is racing, and you have to either drop down to the ground, or your feet, they're like doing things that you never told them to do. Kind of like one of those Roadrunner movies. You know, you've seen it, where everything is moving, but you're not going anywhere. And I know you guys are laughing just with that vision in your head. So it's not the optimum situation, but really, y'all, it's these heart-thumping moments that we all live for. And if you just keep your wits about you, you can definitely still close the deal. Clear your head and do the following. Listen, we've been talking about wind and all of these. Check the wind, check the wind, check the wind. Well, this is the one time. Forget the wind. It is what it is. The only thing you may want to note is at what point the elk may cross your scent line so you can make a play before he does. Your most important action right now is to give yourself the best opportunity at a shot. And that means you have to think shooting lanes. Move right now to the best spot to give yourself shooting lanes. Once there, find any kind of backdrop possible. If there's not one, drop down to your knees and get ready. A lower object will pass longer definitely than a standing one. Now you have to be ready to stop the bull with a bugle or a cow call once he's in your lane. Boom! Make it happen. So now let's take the same situation, oh crap, but this time with partners. So in this situation, you can forget about moving away from the shooter. You both are now one. Treat it just like the solo situation in that you have to move to get the best shooting lanes and situation possible. The caller will most likely be right off the shooter's back and use a shooter's body as a screen if you need to throw any kind of calls at all. Since the caller is right on the shooter's shoulder, he or she should already be clicking off yardages for the shooter and giving landmarks and yardages where the bull would be for a possible shot. The shooter must be ready to shoot, nothing else. The caller's job will be to stop the bull in the shooting lane and cover the shooter's draw if they have not already drawn. So here's a recap. Forget the wind. It is what it is. Move to get to the best shooting lanes and situation possible. Become one in the setup. The caller will use a shooter's body as a screen. Shooter must be ready to shoot. Let the caller click off yardages for the shooter. The caller's job will be to stop the bull in the shooting lane and cover the shooter's draw if they have not already drawn. Boom. Tag team.